Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to a slightly later than usual Rule the Roost podcast. It's been a busy week, but I'm not going to lie, Spooky, I've also just not really felt that extra little push this week to really shuffle things around. Like, my sister's getting married this weekend, so there's a lot of admin all around that. And
congrats.
Oh, thank you. But there's, do you know what I mean? There's all admin helping out doing this and that and just whatever stuff, life admin. But I have also thought, I'm not going to completely blame my sister for the lack of a podcast. Because I just thought after that Brentford game, with everything going on, it's Kane State. It's a bit much at the moment, right? And I wanted to let the dust settle and all that. And then just this morning, after we agreed, I think I sent you a message about 8 o'clock last night. You want to do a pod tomorrow, mate? Yep, grand. I wake up this morning, and it's the David Brent, you know, the white chiffon scarf. Oh, for fuck's sake! As we see on a slot. Words from the horse's mouth. Yeah, no, I'm not going there. I'm staying at Feyenoord. I'm having a great time here. What's going on, Spook?
I bought into Slot completely, but then I've probably done that with two or three other managers in the past few months. Because you want to anchor yourself to a little bit of hope, right? I know people don't like it when you get philosophical about football, but football's there as an escapism to make you feel better. And as much as we like self-deprecating about Spurs, and as much as we like to bang on about everything that's wrong with the club, and there's a lot wrong with Tottenham, you know, at board level, at chairman level, the basic fundamental football decisions, we from our perspective, because all we've got to go on, it's not the rumours and what the journalists are sharing. It's the output of the football on the pitch. And we seem to get it wrong time and time again. So where you are right now is where I am. And I think most Spurs fans are kind of lost in apathy in terms of the last few weeks has just been a rinse and repeat. It's just been another game towards the end of the season. We just want the end of the season to come. How many conversations can you have with your mates after the game in the pub, in WhatsApp or on a podcast about the same thing? You know, the football doesn't mean anything at this point, right? Even though Mason believes it's like an audition, unfortunately, there's not enough there for it to be that, in my opinion. And the players most of those players are signed off for the year. They need to fear in competition for places. They need to fear that they're going to lose their place to someone else. They need to understand what it is the club are aiming to do from a football perspective. There's none of that now. There's just another broken attempt at fixing something with the wrong tools. So I think everybody's in this position where we're just fucking fed up. We're just fed up.
On that one, mate, I'll jump in there because...
Yeah, go for
there's,
it.
There's a really...
Your pod, you can do what you want. You know?
I think there's an interesting point there because it is one of those things I've initially kind of scoffed at and it's gotten my back up and I've wanted to sort of cape for the guy in the past. But like you're talking about there, the player's not really having to fight for it. Where do you stand on the whole idea that if it's to be believed that Eric Dier's on the verge of getting, say, like a new 3-4 year contract at the club? Because when people were kicking off about that at first, I was kind of like, nah, fuck off, man. Like, he's a good lad. He's been here for a good few years now. He's a good squad player. And now I'm suddenly like, is that part of the problem, though? Is that part of we start to think that way? I wonder what the players think. Oh, well, you know, I've got my 4 year. I'm all right here. Like, should we be, like, looking to move people like him on, you know?
So, like, I've been talking about, like, the culture of comfort, like the fact that that there is a culture of comfort. This whole debate around it's the players, it's the manager, it's a bit of both, right?
Yeah.
And in terms of it being about the players, it's not so much about the individuals, even though there are one or two individuals that, and we can come back to Dyer momentarily, there's one or two individuals that probably need to leave the club at this point. I think it's the culture around that, and there is a culture of comfort. And a lot of that has to do with Spurs. Not really, even though we do sign players every summer, every window, we are buying new players. So the personnel is changing, but there is something at the very core that has retained dominance. Maybe that's the wrong word for it, but influence perhaps over what these guys are doing week in, week out. And it is a case of, you know, you look at the player committee. I know people might disagree with this. You know, the fact that we have a committee, we have players that feel that they, you know, they should be the voice of the whole dressing room. It's, you know, in my opinion, it should be Kane and probably no one else. And Hugo Lloris when he was still captain quality. So you have something within the club that has festered, and it's off the back of us not really knowing who we are. Like, just off the back of Pochettino's tenure, bored about talking about Poch at this point.
Yeah.
But we've never really moved on. As much as we have moved on, buying new players, but we've just tried to fix something that's not fixable. It, you need to chuck it away. You need to start again. So Dyer is probably the poster boy for what is wrong about Spurs. And I mean that in a way that, you know, I like Eric Dyer. I haven't got a problem with him. I'm not one of these supporters that's just foaming at the mouth, fucking hates everything about Tottenham, hates the complacency to the point where they're abusive towards players. Like, there's a reason why. There's a reason why Eric Dyer is still at the club and he still doesn't really know what type of footballer he is. And he has purple patches and then he has massive dips in confidence. There's a lot of players like that, I suppose. Mm-hmm. Because we don't know what it is we're asking him to be. We're bringing in managers like Mourinho and Conte, and we're playing the complete opposite of the football that we need as a fan base. And that all then, it becomes a melting pot, right? And everything feeds into everything. And with Spurs as well, for whatever reason, whether it's our fault, the fans, or whether it's the media narrative, or whether it's just the fault of the club for just being a bunch of dozy pricks, like, we seem to attract attention that very few other clubs get when they're not doing very well. And yet we're the club that get mocked for never really challenging and contending and winning things, but yet the pressure is on us more than the other clubs that do. Maybe because the likes of Chelsea will probably get back to winning things next season. Whereas Spurs are always on the outside looking in and never seem to get it right. So it's a cultural thing at this point. And Eric Dyer is comfortable if we're rewarding him, when what we should be looking at is, let's just start again. We've wasted 4 years not starting over. We're trying to reboot in pockets. Just do something completely different this time. Bring in someone and just start from the beginning, even if it takes a couple of seasons to get going. And I'm sure a lot of fans won't like that, but you can't ask for one thing and then demand a set of rules and regulations over how that's delivered. Like, with immediacy, like, there has to be a painful rebuild. And with Spurs, it's just been sellotape and blue tack since Pochettino left. It's not really been, who are we? What do we want to be? This is what we're going to do to do that. It's been, let's bring in someone to kind of fix something and get the most out of what we've got. At this point, you've got to look at what's wrong from a player's perspective, managerial perspective and football perspective. And to be honest, we could be on this pod for hours talking about all the little things. I'll finish up, though, this mini rant and say that everything is actually fixable, Jack. It's not as bad as we think it is right now. Right now, we're exhausted because, here we go again. We're in the same place again. How many times do we have to go through this? Get it right just once. Last time we got it right was accidental. With Pochettino, and look at that journey. And that's all I want with Spurs now. Get someone in who's going to play good football, but allow that person to create a team in the identity that we want. That manager has to amplify what we want to be. And unfortunately, I don't think Levy and the rest of them know what it is that we want to be at this point.
Well, that's part of the problem, isn't it, though? But and very, very well put, mate. But I mean, that's the whole problem, isn't it? Because I find myself kind of falling back into this compartment I've built for myself, where I'm like, look, whatever, Levy's not going to go anywhere. I'm not going to waste too much of my kind of mental energy focusing on that side of things. I just want to, like you say, focus on how we can enjoy it as fans, right? We went into Pochettino, I don't think anybody dreamed that the Pochettino thing would go anywhere close to where it did, right? If you think about Martin Jol, it didn't reach the heights of Pochettino, but we still had a fucking good time, you know? So there's one half of me that's like, yeah, I really want to enjoy it, but I just cannot escape now. I can't escape from the feeling that it's just done with Levy now. It is just done. And I have been on the fence for so long about, you know, we've had long conversations on here about all this, all the good he's done and what have you. But it just feels now that it's catastrophe after catastrophe is a very charged term. Let's just say there's been a pattern of mismanagement coming from the very top of the club that feels it to me now. It feels like there's just dark clouds over the club now, over pretty much everything that we do. We're always going to fill in the blanks, right? The media are going to fill in the blanks in places, but with things like Slot, you know, we've heard various different things already as to why Slot may not be signing for Spurs, why something that seems like it was pretty much bang on now. We're all getting ready. We're all getting excited about it. Nathan's done yet another one of his tactical breakdowns of a manager that's then pulled out at the 11th hour. And
he's a curse, that Nathan.
I know, mate. Like, we've got
to stop making videos, for God's sake. Just chasing the clicks. Just
do you
stop
what I mean?
It,
let's do him in. But we're back in this place again, right, where we're the joke once again.
Right.
And look, that's coming from somewhere, man. Like, whether that's that managers are meeting with Levy and Scott Munn, if he's even on the job yet, fuck knows. I mean, he's flying out to places with Levy, as we've seen from their builder's bum photo in Starbucks or wherever it was at London City Airport. Like, you know, there must just be such a whiffy aura over Tottenham now that people don't want to come near us. And
I would be careful with this, right? Because like Spurs, okay, we're not, for what we have in terms of stadium, for what we have in terms of a loyal fan base, revenue, all the other bits and pieces, the fact that we always have great players playing for us, right? You can't deny these things. Mm-hmm. The football has not been good for several years now, and there's been various factors for that, mostly the desperation and the ambition that we do have. I think Levy is incredibly naive. I think his heart is in the right place. I don't buy into this kind of caricature that he doesn't give a shit about anything. I think this is where I lose the desire to have discussions with certain people about this, because if you're not going to admit the good that he's done for the club, or if you're not going to talk about the details, and you're just going to decide, well, you know, we haven't won anything. We've won one cup in 23 years, and that's the meme. That's the statement. Nothing else matters. You have to be willing to just look at the bigger picture. Now, granted, looking at the bigger picture does nothing for us right now. In the details, unfortunately, Levy is naive. He's complacent. It's not by design, I'm sure. Like I said, his heart is in the right place, but his delivery with the football is just jelly. It wobbles like jelly that's been splattered on the floor at a kid's party and the dog's trodden in it. It's a mess. And this happens often with people who are supreme at the commercial aspect, or they're supreme at doing one particular thing. And then they try to lean into something else, and often Levy talks about not wanting to he didn't intend to be like this kind of prominent chairman, right? And he does his best not to be prominent. He's obviously quite a shy guy. He's quite awkward socially, is the impression I get when you see him talk. And he would prefer to not be in the public eye, and that's fine. But at what point do you as a person kind of stand outside of your own body almost and just say, do you know what? I'm not, this isn't working. I can't figure this out. Now, we kind of spoke briefly about how modern football is generally a bit of a mess when you're appointing managers, especially at top tier clubs. It's hard to say, we want a project manager, you've got 5 years, because the demand is we need to be in Champions League every season. We need to try to win something every season. So it kind of changes what you're trying to do as a club, which is why he's gone for Mourinho and why he's gone for Conte. And in another universe, those work out if you actually give them what they want. And the reality is that both those managers knew they weren't going to get what they wanted in immediately. Conte often said it will take many, many windows, but these two would still be hypocrites to the assignment by then turning it back on the club, not doing enough to support them. It's like, well, either you're gonna take a few seasons to get where you want to go, or you're not. So already in the last two appointments, you can see that we don't really have a plan. We don't really have a blueprint. It's just this: keep the ball rolling, keep the train going, try and get to where we want to be, but without really any consequence of what it means for us going and watching Spurs, what it means in terms of entertainment, what it means in terms of togetherness, because all we have at the moment is a very fragmented experience, right?
Yeah.
Like, we're not really happy with the football. I've spent most of the last 4 years defending Mourinho and Conte. Give it time. We can win ugly. You know, it gives us a little bit of a spiteful dimension, but then the football turns to complete turgidness and then it all breaks apart. So Levy, just to round up, I know I'm ranting again, mate, and I've gone off on one.
It's one of those days though, isn't it, mate? But it's just what it's like at the moment.
Yeah, with Levy, you have to at some point say, let's sacrifice a season or two. Let's actually do something where in the short term it will breed momentum in the long term, and do so by making the right decision for what the football club needs. Now, what that looks like, I don't know, because you can only appoint the available managers, right? So you need to find a manager that fits the philosophy, aggressive attacking football, you know, with a bit of steel, plays the youth players, you know, someone who's ambitious, who wants to win. Because to follow up on something else you said, Spurs are not, we are a poison chalice, but at the same time, imagine achieving something at this football club, what it would mean for us to the manager that does that, and what it means for the manager who comes in and says, well, it wasn't that difficult to win something at Tottenham. Don't know what the fuck everyone else was trying to do. I think it is still a big, big challenge. I think we shouldn't read too much into the narratives and the rest of it, because I think on the outside, managers just want their money. That, you know, they want to take a risk. They're going to get paid off if it doesn't go according to plan. Spurs have got a fantastic stadium and training facilities. And I've only said that because I know it's going to trigger some of the people listening. But we've got all the right things in place.
What it's only creme de la creme, the audience that listen to this, mate. So don't worry about that.
What we haven't got is just that ruthless, cutthroat decision making at high level. Like, we want you to be the manager. What do you want to achieve success? What is your vision? And then allow that person to fit in. But at the moment, we don't know who's coming in. We haven't got a director of football. We don't know how it's going to work. It just feels like we're just throwing more fuel on the fire, and it's going to just be another bonfire at some point, no doubt, if we keep doing this.
But this feels like it's all part of it, mate. Like, you know, the lads were speaking about this on the Extra Inch the other week, and it just seems so obvious. So, you know, we're going out and hiring a manager before we've hired our director of football. It just seems to be this kind of backward thinking that is just plaguing the club now. If we want to go for a director of football, if that's what we want, then surely part of their job is doing all of those things that you were just touching on there, defining the club's character, defining the, or at least the playing staff's character, defining the identity, defining the type of football we want to play, and then fitting a manager in to fit that purpose.
Yeah,
it just seems, again, we're doing this like backwards compatibility type thing of let's bring in a manager and then let's try and get in a director of football that's data-based or whatever, not knowing what this manager's opinion on that might be or how well they gel with this potential director of football. Or I mean, you know, there's this talk about the Nagelsmann deal, the wheels falling off of that because he wanted to appoint his own director of football. That does feel a bit dodgy to me. You know, it feels like, you know, the director of football should have some insulation from the manager, because ultimately the director of football is surely the person that should be kicking up to Levy saying, mate, this guy's lost the dressing room, or so on and so forth, you know, that type of thing. It just everything feels very, very jumbled at the moment. And whether that, you know, this is kind of what Scott Munn's maybe supposed to be helping sort out, who knows? You know, again, it's one of these other things. And like you were saying, things do change quickly. But also, and I know this is always the kind of the response when you try to put a positive slant on things. Well, but. However, it does feel, I think, like the emergence of Newcastle, Arsenal on a massively upward trajectory. You would imagine Liverpool will be back up and again in the mix. United are on an upward curve. Chelsea, are they going to stay as bad as they were again this year? Brighton now, look at them, absolutely flying. Look at teams like even Villa. They're just kind of showing you that, like, you just cannot rest. You cannot rest in the Premier League. You have to have a clear plan, right? You have to. And you have to have a good manager that's bought into the club, that's bought into what you're trying to do, which is to win, which is to get further and further up the league. And, you know, like you say, there's a lot of mischaracterisation about... Is that even a word? Mischaracterisation? Let's go with it.
It is now, man. Go for it.
About Daniel Levy, about, oh, he's just happy to put on Beyonce concerts and all.
Yeah.
No, I don't believe that either. I like you, think, yeah, I think he is quite naive in a certain way. And that feels, you know, a man, me saying that of a man who is infinitely more successful than I am. But
yeah,
just in this sense, it does feel that, like, you know, I think it's not all naivety. I think there's a lot of ego at play. I think anybody who... Anybody who is, I guess he's a billionaire now, or close to, probably, you know, he's a very wealthy man, let's put it that way. And to get to where he has done in life, you have to be wired a certain way, right? I talk about this a lot on here, about the way people are wired, the way players are, the way people at work in football are. You know, they aren't like you or I. They're just not. Like, they are different. And you do have to have that level of ego to be as successful as that. So we can't sit here and be like, oh God, he's so egotistical. Well, of course he is. You know, he's steering the ship of a multi-billion pound football franchise in the Premier League. Like, of course he's got a certain type of ego. A certain type of ego shuts out intrusive thoughts. A certain type of ego that probably thinks, you know, in his quieter moments and wouldn't communicate this publicly, all these plebs think they know better than me. How laughable. You know, that type of thing. And that's probably what carries these people through. But it feels now that just isn't enough, and that is becoming his undoing. It really is, because...
I
look at this now and I just think it's a mess. It feels like a mess, and it feels like really nobody wants to touch us. And
look, there's two ways this goes, because I feel like I need to stop you, Jack, in case you hurt yourself, mate. So, but seriously, like, there's two ways it goes. Like, the one way is one that's going to make a lot of people happy, even though it's going to hurt them at the same time. And that is that it does get worse. And that this might be the only way that you get to see Levy step away without him truly stepping away. So he moves away from being the chairman, and he's still involved. He still owns the club. You know, he doesn't go away until he sells the club, right? And then we get new owners and new problems. But the only way that he steps away is if this does progressively get worse, and the abuse, and or rather not the abuse. No, I'll take that back. Strike that. the noise extends from it being like 40 to 60 people outside the ground who are generally ignored by most of the people walking past them. And credit to those that do go there and stand there. I might not agree with them and the delivery of what their message is, but they're committed to turning up and doing what they're doing to make their feelings felt.
Sure,
and
but
they're powerless.
Leave other people alone, though, if they want to go into the club shop and buy stuff.
Right, we can talk about that later if you want. I didn't actually see any of that, so I can't really comment. But the point being is, when it moves away from it just being a very small minority and loads of people on Twitter thinking that Twitter is the entire world when it literally is nothing. It's just like a half a percentage of everything. When it expands into the stadium and there's that organic reaction that has nothing to do with what you're reading on tweets and blogs and listening to the likes of us on the podcast, it happens from an emotional place, from the heart, from the spirit. And when everyone reacts in a certain way, if you've got the entire stadium, imagine the entire stadium, not just pockets of the south stand, singing for Levy to leave, right? As hard as this guy is to be almost a billionaire, you know, to be where he is in life, you know, it's going to get to him. I mean, his wife reached out to him the other day, which was quite a human moment, because he almost felt like she'd only do that if she knew that it's hurting him. So it must be hurting him to a certain degree. As much as people want to pretend that he doesn't care, he obviously does. And it may be from an egotistical point, like you said, it might be from, why the fuck are they abusing me? I don't get it. It might be from that perspective, to be fair, right? So if it gets to a place where he just thinks, fuck this, I'm going to step down, someone else can do the job, he's still going to be there. The financial aspect, you know, you can split the commercial side and the football side and have a chairman on each side, right? Or a leader on each side. But fundamentally, it's still the same revenue streams that go back into the football. So you're not really losing Levy until he's gone. So then you're left with this kind of reliance on him to have an epiphany and do something completely left field, but also very basic, because that's what Spurs need. We need basic things to be done because we have the capacity to be really good. You can bang on about Brighton. I mean, Newcastle are undeniable because of the money. You can bang on about Villa and all these other clubs. This has happened before. We've been left behind before, and these clubs fall apart for a multitude of reasons, because they sell their best players, yeah, or they hit poor form and the chairman actually panics and they bring in someone new. You know, the Spurs are not going anywhere. And maybe that's not a good thing either, because we're standing still.
Are you as confident
time,
on that, though, mate, now?
I'm not...
Because I'm not. No, I'm not, honestly not anymore. And I used to be really... I always had this baseline level that Levy will... We've got such a system in place or whatever that will at least ensure that we probably won't finish... A catastrophe would be finishing like top of the bottom half of the Premier League, right? That would be a terrible season. Yeah. Chelsea, yeah, yeah. Exhibit A this year, right? That type of thing. But I don't know, man. I honestly think, and I'm really trying to not get too swept up in it, but I'm not saying it's likely. I'm not saying that it's going to happen. What I'm saying now is that I'm in a place where I wouldn't be surprised if we found ourselves next year having a season like West Ham have had this year. We lose Kane this year. I really wouldn't be surprised to see that happen to us. That we find ourselves in a bit of a pickle, having a bit of a horrible
season. I mean, this is like worst case scenario. Yes. And I get the fact that you're even thinking that means that there's a potential for that to happen.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Happen. I my entire identity is around, you know, the romantic notions of being a football fan. You know, go to the game, have a beer, burst a balloon, just have a laugh with your mates, and just generally just try and tie into that escapism part. Now, obviously, I've been going to Tottenham since 1987, like more or less consistently, couple of season tickets, loads of away games back in the day when I was a lot younger and was able to do that. I've seen a lot of shit. There's a patch in the 90s that I barely remember. The football was so bad and diabolical that I barely remember. Like, if you told me, like, name the 11 that played, I'd say Nicola Berti. Yeah. Oh, and that Italian.
Tramezzano.
Fullback, yeah. And do you know, my brain melts because it was so awful. And we have come a long way since then.
Sure.
We've never really been a well-managed club at board level. If you go back to the way we got rid of Bill Nick, the way Birkinshaw was handled, Irving Scholar being overly ambitious from a financial perspective that made us basically, you know, brought the club to its knees in the early 90s with Sugar having to buy us out. And then everything since 2006 has been on a steady rise. And we have been really unfortunate, right? If we had won all these little cup finals that we had along the way, people wouldn't be complaining that much, right? But we would still have a right to complain because we would still say we can do a lot better than this. Like we're just ticking all the boxes that are available. How about creating our own boxes and ticking them, and then never stopping to look at what we need to do? I mean, Liverpool is the perfect example. They knew what they needed to do to fix up, and they did it. And the rest is literally history in terms of what they achieved, right, at our cost.
We're sliding doors with them and us.
Yeah.
And it makes me feel sick, even when you bring it up. It's just like, fucking hell, man. You know, it really is. It's the bullseye. Look at what you could have won, isn't it? You know?
But do you know what it is as well, Jack? Because we don't have... who was it who said it? Someone said it on one of my pods, I think.
Filthy Shambles podcast. Have a listen.
Yeah, Filthy Shambles podcast. Little plug there. Just Spotify and the rest of the platforms. Not as good as this one, though, I don't think. Credit to you, Jack.
Oh, okay.
Just remember to pay me, mate. So someone said on my pod that we have a board that are a top four board. They know, they understood how to get into the top four. Now they don't understand how to push a little bit further.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's this thing about, oh, we're happy with Champions League. Well, actually, yes, we need Champions League to be able to then be competitive enough to maybe challenge for the league. If you're finishing top four every season, at some point, you're going to be in a title race. It just happens. You look at this season, the way loads of clubs fell apart. And Arsenal had this kind of no-pressure run towards the league title, and then the moment the pressure was on, they obviously collapsed. And City are obviously a machine if you look at the output they've had with league titles. So you're already up against it. Winning the league is not an easy thing to do, but you have to consider how can we win the league with all these other clubs around us. You have to have those conversations internally. You have to think, what is the strategy here to be able to be competitive from top to bottom? Spurs have lost that connection from the academy to the first team. They've lost their identity. They've lost the type of football that we want to see as a basic, you know, through the door necessity on match days. We've kind of lost that desire. You know, we go there already thinking, what are we going to watch today? And we're very self-deprecating. But unfortunately, we're now quite self-loathing. And you know, there's a little bit of that in me. Maybe not as much as it's with you. I mean, you're catastrophizing in terms of relegation next season. Like, potentially, you probably woke up in a sweat thinking about that. and that's testament to how badly we've been managed. But I also think there is an exaggeration in that as well. I think
me
you can appoint. No, well, everybody. No, 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 I'm not talking about you, but you can you can ban it yourself there. Just generally speaking, I think we do exaggerate as well, because often we think finality, it's the end of the world, we're never going to recover from this, and we always recover. Now, at some point, we might not. At some point, it might be that we've pushed that luck a little bit too much and it's just snapped, you know, and the club and the board, I do not think, ultimately, they don't fear failure. They're not, because they think, oh, failure is maybe not finishing in the Champions League and we're going to be really unhappy about that because of commercial reasons. What they should be fearing is, how far away are we now from ever winning the league title or winning a couple of cups or having success in Europe? Like, the benchmark for them should be, you know, like, how close are we to maybe becoming a serious contender, like we were for a couple of good seasons under Pochettino, and that's, I think, I complete agreement with you. And I agree with all these people that seem to despise and hate me and think that I'm a Levy apologist. I actually agree with people that say Levy out and Enoch out. I just don't know what the alternative is when they choose when they will leave. They choose when they, you know, when they win by selling the club and making billions, it's, we're going to win as a consequence of that, but only because of their success by selling the football club. So we are powerless ultimately. Which is why I just want to go to the. I still want to go to games and enjoy the experience of it. And I just have to hope we get the appointment right. I don't know who that is. And to be honest with you, Jack, I don't think I'm even going to be overly critical with whoever gets appointed, because there was something about Pochettino I didn't fancy, even though he did well at Southampton. I thought this is too big for him. And what do we really know as football fans? Often we think we know everything. And then, you know, Danny Rose, 5-year contract, got mocked, run off Twitter. And then what happened? And similar things like that are happening all the time now, because we are in this echo chamber with Twitter. But like I said, Twitter shouldn't really be the centre point. It should be the match day experience that tells you how the fan base think. And the fan base love their neck oil, love their pizza and chips and chicken dippers and the rest of it. And they love their club shop. So just here we are.
Diving in on like what you've said there, mate, and kind of going back to my original point, I'll put this to you there, mate, because, you know, the internet, content on the internet is nothing if it isn't binary, right? And we're not making unnecessary big statements about things. But right now, where Tottenham Hotspur are, okay, genuinely, are we more likely to win the Premier League or get relegated from the Premier League, in your opinion?
I you know what, after what Leicester did, and because I'm obviously an absolute dreamer, I'd say we're more likely to win the league, because we're more likely when it Spurs always do the unexpected, and they do it accidentally, which is what's so irritating about this football club.
But you can apply this both ways, mate, to be fair.
No, I know, but it would be like, how awful would we have to be? Like, I'll tell you what, let me make this one quick. If we get to the summer and we appoint an underwhelming manager and we think, okay, and we got director of football and we think, okay, and we don't see the likes of Dyer and one or two others get moved on, and Hugo Lloris stays on, I doubt that's going to happen. And it doesn't feel that there's enough of a change. We don't buy a new keeper. We don't buy two centre-backs. We don't buy an attacking midfielder. Then I will be worried, because I will say, well, what have we actually done? We haven't changed anything. We've brought in a new manager that might play more expansive football, but have we strengthened the backbone, the spine of the club? Now, that's a lot to think that we wouldn't do that, considering all eyes on Levy and the club. They know that they need to do something progressive, and they need to do something that inspires us all to believe again. So if those basic things don't happen, then I might start to worry, depending on how we start the season. But I generally buy into the fact that when you look at the core set of players, you look at Destiny arriving, Spence coming back, and I know they're young, I get it, and Spence needs we need to actually see him play consistently to get an idea of whether he is good enough for the Premier League at this point. But if you look at some of the other players, Bissouma, you know, how good he is when he's allowed to roam a little bit and be more aggressive. Bentancur, when he comes back, chuck in a Maddison or a player of a similar ilk in amongst it in the middle as well. Suddenly, things don't look that bad. Even this season, we've been fairly awful. But when we were attacking, and when we do attack, we look incredibly good. And we've had a lot of injuries. We've had a lot of other little things that have kind of buried they've been buried in amongst the bigger stories. It's Conte's implosion and the rest of it, and all the other personal things that happened to him. Some of the injuries we've had and Son's form and the rest of it have been. I mean, they've completely destroyed any consistency for us this season. At one point, we were, what, third and fourth? I know people like to mention this. Well, when Conte was still here, we were still in top four. Okay, we were barely in top four. In fact, it was like, pinch yourself. How are we in top four? But you think we were that bad, and we were actually still in the top four. How did we manage that? How bad is everyone else? So, as much as it's easy to focus just on Spurs and say, well, this is what might happen to us, you've got to remember there's all these other teams around us. You have no idea what they're going to do. And you know, if you think all of them are going to do well, then that's just going to make the entire league a lot closer than it is. I'm going to just stick with, I think we're more likely to win the league because that's the more ridiculous thing out of the two. And Tottenham ultimately are an absolute elite, ridiculous football club. So I'm just going to stay with that and be mocked for saying it.
Look, if we're talking about like a new, you know, you've spoken about Lloris maybe going and all that type of thing. We're talking about a new era. It would have been easier to discuss this through the kind of prism of Arne Slot coming in.
Yeah, mate.
But as now that's seemingly not happening, fuck knows. Yeah. But let's just say it is, you know, say it's Postecoglou, or even if it is a Brendan, oh, fucking hell. I mean,
I know. I just don't fancy that one at all.
You know, let's do this first. God, I'm tying myself in knots. Look, is there any case to be made that maybe this summer, let's just get what we can get for Kane? Like, I don't want him to. The thought of Harry Kane not being at this football club, as I've made clear on this podcast several times, I don't buy into the idea that we're somehow we can maybe be better without Kane. Somehow we can play, you know, higher pressing football, blah, blah, blah. I'm sure in principle that's sound, but also Harry Kane scores loads and loads of goals and is one of the best players in world football. Like, don't rush somebody like him out the door. But that said, we've got it hanging over us now. I'm very much of the opinion he ain't signing a new contract at Spurs. So our options are now sell him this summer, or he goes on a free next year to probably fucking Chelsea or somewhere like that. That's going to be horrible. Oof. Right? Okay, but we don't even need to put... He can choose where he goes next summer, or we sell him this year for probably fuck all, for probably 50, 60 million pounds or something like that.
Yeah.
But at least we have some control over where he goes. But it's not so much about just like where Harry Kane goes or not, right? It's also about, look, if we are trying to bring in Amorim, right? Let's just say him, right? Amorim, young project manager. He comes in, he decides to take over. He wants to build a new legacy at Tottenham. He's got a 5-year roadmap, right?
Yeah.
Harry Kane being around for another year, all the shit around that, all the press, every single press conference, the manager being asked, every single BT, Sky, post, or TNT, sorry now, or Sky, post-match interview of Harry Kane. What about your future, Harry?
Yeah, exactly.
Do we need that? Like, do we really need
this? This is what I mean by ruthless and cutthroat decision making. Like, on an emotional level, I would want Kane to stay, right? For obviously the greatest ever player, goal scorer. You want him to stay for as long as he's playing football. But then the reality of it is exactly what you've explained there, that if someone does come in and they want to build something here properly, they're gonna want to make tough decisions. And most of the problem with Spurs right now is that we haven't moved on from Pochettino. We haven't moved on from that success that we had that was not, I mean, it was out of the blue, right, to the point where we were overachieving and then somehow underachieving, right? I think that really burnt us out as a football club. And this is what I mean about the likes of Dier and Hugo and one or two others. There's emotional baggage these guys are carrying, and we're carrying that same baggage, and we keep looking to the past to build the future. We need to let go of the past and then just look ahead. And someone like Slot coming in and doing that would have been ideal. Now, maybe Slot has said, I want to sell Kane. We don't know. I'm making this up, right? And maybe the club thought, what the fuck is wrong with this guy? He wants to sell Kane. Like, we can't appoint this geezer. And it's in those moments where perhaps, again, there is naivety. I'm not saying it's the right decision. The right decision would be to sell Kane an idea about what Spurs are going to become, and then maybe have him on some kind of influential coaching position, if you know what I mean, without the badges.
Feels like that ship sailed though, right? That feels like that's what 100%. Mourinho or Conte was, you know?
Yeah, exactly. It's definitely sailed. So we're in this position where we don't make... It doesn't feel, from the outside looking in, based on all the scraps and a lot of bullshit that these journalists publish and a lot of stories that we seem to buy into for no reason. It's just said. Like the other day, Slot was in London and he was practically signing for Tottenham.
Yeah.
And this was getting shared about. And now he's like, oh, no, they never spoke to him. He's always wanted to stay where he's at. And it's like, well, what is going on here? This is Jackanory. This is... And we're trying to work out, but we know the club well enough to know that they're not thinking holistically. They're not thinking with expansiveness. And I often thought Poch would have been the PR appointment, that it would have ticked loads of boxes because it would have kept us quiet and happy, most of us anyway. And I often found myself thinking maybe the club are being a little bit shrewd here. They're not going for the easy option. They're thinking about longevity and they're thinking about making the right decision this time and not giving the fans what they think the fans want. But I've gone full circle now, and the reality is Poch probably was the ideal guy for a number of reasons, because it fits and he can come back in. And there's almost like a story that needs completing. He can come back in after 4 or 5 years and go, right, I get it. Let's start again. And there's confidence in him based on what he's already achieved. Now, supposedly they don't rate him. Supposedly he's lost his edge. Supposedly he can't. The expectation for him to replicate what he did first time round perhaps is impossible. Therefore, that might implode, and we might really be crushed as a fan base if that was to happen. And Spurs just want to do something new. And that's fine, but if you look at all the managers we're supposedly looking at, they all seem to be slightly different. And I get it, that's football. There's no real two managers that are similar, but it doesn't feel like this club understand how to evolve away from what the mess that we've created for ourselves, like properly. I've actually forgot your question. This is textbook spooky, by the way. Like, I don't know if it's just my old age now, but I'm getting worse.
Just basically, you know, is there a case rambling to be made that we should just bin off Kane? But you've already sort of answered that, you know, that we're looking to the future.
I am an old man. But okay, let me just conclude that then.
But I'm not saying bin off Kane if we're getting Brendan Rodgers in. Like, I understand it through the prism of Slot or even Amorim, who I don't know much about, but I understand is a young, upwardly, you know, whatever, upward
Spurs
trajectory manager.
Spurs have been the Harry Kane team, right? Okay, Pep was kind of right. And how can we not be that when he's such a leader, such an elite footballer, so important, best striker at the club, best midfielder at the club, right? It's sometimes the best defender at the club. So... losing him is going to hurt, regardless of how it happens. If it happens this summer or next summer, it's going to hurt. Only a miracle, it would appear now, if you want to be like really negative about it, or realistic rather, only a miracle would keep him here if something happened and he thought, Aye, Spurs might be onto something, finally. But you feel that he just wants to go off and just pick up some tin pots just for the sake of the trophy cabinet. And that's fair enough. Like, good luck to him if that's what he chooses to do. I can't control that. But I would agree that if someone came in and they had a vision of where we want to go or what we want to do, then the board should be backing him. And I'm not saying give him full control and he can appoint his own director of football and it gets a bit shady. Just the club should really have a vision that the manager fits into. It should be that easy, just a shoe that fits. Is it Cinderella? I should know this, considering how many Disney movies I've watched. Indeed. It doesn't appear like there's something there. It doesn't appear that there's something concrete there. It still feels like, what can you do for us? How can you come in? And I don't know, is that modern football now? This, we bang on about heritage and tradition and whatever else. Is it simply get someone in who can manage a bunch of good players, we'll spend a couple hundred million and just see what you can do with it? I mean, is that the way football is for clubs like Spurs, who are not the billionaire football clubs, even though we kind of are and will be in terms of revenue, but we're not behaving like the likes of City and Chelsea. And again, nearly every club that we're competing with has that experience and platform. They understand what it takes to win things because they lucked out, you know, back in the 90s and early 2000s. I say lucked out. I mean, they were doing it right in the first place whilst we were wallowing in the bottom half of the table, nearly crippled financially. So we are always looking up. But I think we just build too many obstacles, in-house. It's hard enough, man, to compete with these football clubs. But when you've got your own club kind of shooting itself in the foot all the time, it becomes even harder to manage.
What are you thinking about managers, mate? Because look, it seems like Arne Slot's off the table. Where are you at? Like, if it is, you know, Miggy Delaney saying Postecoglou now.
Oh, no. I don't know. He manages Celtic. I mean, no disrespect to the guy, but
he's also like, I've sort of.
He's 57, right?
Right. I've rallied against ageism as well previously on this. But when I actually sit here, I am like, well, you know, I mean. I don't know, mate. I really don't know.
Do you know what?
Just to clarify that, my concern is more like he's 57 and he seems to be like in a fairly junior place in his career already. Like, it just doesn't.
See, again, it's funny the way our minds work because if we appointed Julian. Who's 11-2 at the minute, or whatever that means. I barely, as you can tell, I barely put bets on. He seems to be the favourite for some reason. If we appoint him, he could be the wrong person for the club, right?
Big time.
Because he's very young, very egotistic, skates to work. You know, if you believe the director of football thing, or people often knee-jerk towards that. And we're not knee-jerk. They often think, oh, Levy fucking things up again because he's not giving full control to the manager. And you know, I kind of said something on Twitter earlier today and someone said, well, maybe it's a good thing. Like giving full control to a manager is probably not the right thing to do. But there has to be a middle ground, right? And if you're obviously not getting there in discussions, then the vision of the manager and the club are two completely different things. They're at odds with each other. But Nagelsmann would have me hyped because he brings hype. And you know the football's going to be good and Tottenham are going to be a bit of rock and roll. And I think we're missing that at the minute. We're missing that kind of the proper definition of Spursy. You know, socks rolled down and shirts tucked out and you're just swaggering. Like, where's the swagger and the swashbuckle and the, like, I'm going fucking Tottenham today. I'm going to go and see the Spurs.
Yeah.
And do you know what I mean? Really, again, really basic necessities, really important things. Like, we all, like, forget Twitter, again, forget about it, because when you're at the game and you go back into the bars after the game, everyone, and the pubs outside the stadium as well, everyone gets on with it. They're all happy to be Spurs. We're all having a moan. We're all pissed off. But we're all going to be there next season again. It's just what it is. Your club chooses you and you crack on with it. You have good seasons, you have bad seasons. Tottenham are failing at the very top tier of football. We're basically failing at trying to win things, whereas most football clubs will never come close to winning anything. And we're at the point where we should be winning things, because, again, we can attract the right level of players. Maybe not the same as Chelsea and City, but we can be up there. We can be competitive. So I get it. You know, you can be pissed off with the way that the club is being managed. But when you go to a football match and you have your beer and you get in your seat, you just want to believe that something's happening, that mm-hmm. something special's happening. And he might be able to bring that, even if it is an illusion. And then he does a Conte and completely, like, you know, loses his head and fucks off and blames the club, and we're back where we are again. But I will take that right now, because I just want the football side of it to be good. Everyone else, apart from Slot, is the one I wanted, because I think he looks the right fit for the club. I don't fancy the rest. I don't fancy Rodgers. I don't really like Rodgers. I'd have to just accept it and support him and back him and just crack on. Enrique, you know, from a very non-extra inch perspective, I think he's football. I don't know, man. I don't know whether is that the right fit. We're banging on about identity and philosophy. And then the rest of them, nah. Are we going to be back with giving it to Ryan Mason? And I don't think Ryan Mason is tactically astute enough to organise our defence and to maybe influence big players who probably do need a very strong, egotistic type of player. And Mason speaks really well, and I think he's got the right traits, but he's undercooked. He needs to get out there. He needs to Frank Lampard it somewhere, but not obviously be completely dog shit. So I, to be honest, I am now really worried about potential mediocre output from this football club. Like, you've actually changed my standpoint now. I'm actually shit in the bed now.
I mean,
thanks, Jack. Cheers,
I know it's not popular, mate, but I would definitely, like, probably give it Mace over Rodgers. I don't know. See, Rodgers is nightmare territory, but I think if I try and sort of separate my dislike for the guy and whatever, I reckon you could probably say that what would happen is that he'd maybe have a bit of a Redknapp effect on us, and we'd start playing all right again. Because yes. He does that, right? He does play decent. Yeah. When his teams are flying, they're fucking flying, Brendan Rodgers. You have to give him that. And I could see us conceivably suddenly having maybe 2 years when we're like, this is quite good fun, and we're pushing again for the top four. It feels like there's a bit of a spirit again. But with him, you just know every single club he goes to, the wheels fall off in a big way, like in a big way.
Yeah.
We don't need that, man. Like, we don't need, like, 2 years of distraction to end up back here or worse in a couple of years. Like, it's time to get serious. And I think if that perfect candidate isn't there for us now, I see less harm, honestly, in just giving it to Mason, even if it's for half a season, and come November time, Nagelsmann is suddenly like, fuck, Real Madrid didn't come in for me. Maybe I should just kind of, maybe this is a learning for me. Maybe I should go meet in the middle with a club like Tottenham and realise that it is a good opportunity. You know?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
So maybe there isn't any harm in just kind of, because I just, stuff like this, like Rodgers or, I honestly, I even feel it with somebody like Luis Enrique, mate. I still just have that feeling of, like, in a very different way. I don't think the wheels fall off in the same way or anything, but I just feel, again, it's more of the same. It's a manager who's coming with lofty ideals, with, like, big expectations. Mm. He's managed it.
Yeah.
To be fair, he didn't do very well at places like Roma either. You know, he smashed it at Barcelona, but people kind of gloss over a lot of his sort of managerial credentials, really, other than, like, doing all right at Spain and being unbelievable at Barcelona that had MSN, as people like to call them, you know?
Hmm. I was going to say something really deep, and it's just left my brain, which is not very good for a podcast. But I guess where I was going was that I've got it wrong, like most get it wrong. Apart from those who always say that the manager's the wrong manager, you know, most of the time you're going to get that right for obvious reasons. But I've kind of backed Mourinho, I kind of backed Conte, and it just comes from a place where you just want your team to do well, so you kind of buy into it. So I'm not saying that, you know, if Rodgers is appointed or someone else is appointed, that, you know, I'm still going to have the concerns that you've described. But I will just crack on with it, because that's all I can do. And people out there will say, well, that's, you're not doing enough then. What are you doing to change the... Mate, what do you want me to do? Stand in the dugout? Like, I'm not, you know, I might know more about football than Tim Sherwood. Well, actually, I don't. Even Tim Sherwood knows a lot more about football than all of us. And look at the state of his managerial tenure, right? Or 10 years. The fact is, as fans, we kind of have this perspective from the outside, because that's where we are always, and we know what's best for the club, definitely, but the delivery of that is obviously out of our hands again, because, you know, ideally you'd want a manager like Pochettino, that type of ilk, to come in and do a job for us and play this kind of swarming football, and that doesn't often play out the way that it should when you do look at maybe bringing in someone. But when you're bringing in managers like Mourinho and Conte, you're never going to get that. You know, you're never going to get that. You can bang on about Mourinho getting sacked before the League Cup final, but if it wasn't for the pandemic and the lockdown, he would have been sacked long before then, because all of you in the ground, all of us in the ground, would not have stood for what we were watching. So the point being is, you can have the best intentions as, you know, regardless of who you are, manager, board, chairman, supporter. When the appointment's made, like, we are in a position where we're going to have to, we might not like it, but we're just going to have to hope for the best. And that's most football clubs most of the time, right? We should really be in a position at this point to make an appointment that actually unites all the clans, all the supporters, that we're all on the same page. And we're like, you know what? It might be tricky at the beginning, but I'm buying into this. I believe this is the right... The club have done the right thing here. And most of us thought that of Conte, to be fair. We thought, you know what? He might not be the right fit, but he's the catalyst. He's going to change the way this club works. And for a moment, it kind of looked like it was heading towards that direction. And then it literally did a U-turn and went in the opposite way. So I don't know. It feels Nuno-ish at this point, right? Because, like, the managers that we thought we were going to get, we're not getting. And now in our heads, we're almost scripting the narrative to be, are we going to end up with third choice and fourth choice? And maybe the reality is there is no first, second, third choice. There's four or five managers that they want to talk to. And maybe they hit a brick wall with one or two and then they move on to the next. But I don't really believe that. I think there is a list of managers, but I think Spurs are waiting to get lucky with one of them. And perhaps the right manager that we need, they're not going to do enough to get that person in. And that is where it comes back to the whole ruthlessness and the self-awareness and the fact that Levy, unfortunately, or however you want to look at it, is just not cut out with making these decisions anymore. It's too much. And do you know what? To finish up on this rant as well, mate, I think it's a good thing that we're this noisy, even the people that I don't agree with and whatever else, because it shows that we are ambitious. We want this club to be successful. And we're not doing it. I want to say we're not doing it in a petulant way, although I think we're going to get to the point where that's going to happen. It happened at Arsenal. But Arsenal kind of went through this cleansing, like having been so petulant for years, expecting titles and cups and the rest of it. They realised, no, we've got to rediscover who we are again. And they had a couple of rough seasons with Arteta, and most of them wanted him sacked. And look at what got delivered quite unexpectedly this season. Or maybe not so much, because, you know, Arteta tapped into the youthfulness of the squad he's got, and he's got them playing and believing in a philosophy. And what we're wanting right now is almost the same thing, but we want to own it the way that Spurs would own it in the past when we've had a bit of swashbuckle and spirit and swagger. And that's all we're asking for. Just that, get that right, and you're halfway there. There's no guarantees in football, man. There's no guarantees. Everything's a risk. Everything is a risk. Even if you appoint the right manager, it's still a risk. But you want to believe the club are doing everything the right way to make it possible. And I don't think we ever get near to doing that. And it's frustrating. I'm still not going to stand out the crowd outside the ground, rather, as I chew on my words. I'm still not going to stand outside the club shop and protest and whatever else. I'm going to still go to the games. I'm not going to hunger strike and not eat when I'm at the football, or drink when I'm at the football. I'm there for my mental health, believe it or not, as much as that's a contradiction and a paradox. But I love going to the football. I love seeing everyone there. As long as my mates go, I will go. The moment they all start, the moment they all stop going to football, there'd be no reason for me to keep going.
You're giving it all this, mate. You're just a Levy shill. You're popping one balloon at a time. Against
mate,
the protest.
Spurs. I don't know what you're drinking, but I'm drinking champagne.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.